Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Matthew and chapter 22. And the title of this week's message is All the Answers. Matthew and chapter 22 and starting with verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians. Now, this is significant. The disciples of the Pharisees, they kind of represented the religious side of things. The Herodians, there were the ones that were following Herod, who was the puppet king over Israel set up by the Roman Empire, and they kind of represented the political side of things. So they thought they had their bases covered with when they come to Jesus with these that was religious representatives and also with those who were political representatives. And so, verse 16 again, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. So in other words, as they, you know, were kind of buttering him up and talking things up to his face, kind of flattering somewhat, but it is in falsehood. Verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Boy, he called them out right to their face. He wasn't talking about them behind their back. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Now, boy, they thought they really had a good plot together there. They thought, now, we're going to ask him a question, and here we'll have these religious representatives with us, these disciples of the Pharisees, and we'll have these Herodians, these that follow Herod, and no matter what he says, we'll have him. Because if he says, oh, don't give to Caesar, then the Herodians could have accused him of rebellion against the government. And if he had said, yeah, go ahead and give to Caesar, then that would have undermined him from a religious point of view. In their eyes, it would have undermined him and his effectiveness in the ministry. And that is said, see there, he's against the Jews and he's on the side of the Romans. And so they thought, boy, we've got him. And so, you know, they'd really plotted this out, but it didn't work. See, Jesus has all the answers. Hallelujah. And so he said, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these things, they marveled and left him and went their way. They couldn't touch that. They couldn't touch up a 10-foot pole. Hallelujah. Boy, Jesus has all the answers. That answer was something they couldn't touch. They couldn't find no fault in that answer. But they wasn't done with their efforts. And verse 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And of course, you can go back in the Old Testament there, and if you'll read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you'll see all the laws and everything, and it's contained right over there, this specific law that they were referring to. Now, they got to remember the Sadducees, they were kind of like what we would nowadays call a different denomination, a different sect of the Jews. That's S-E-C-T, sect of the Jews. And so, you know, you had your two major groups of Jews back then, the Pharisees. They believed in the resurrection, and the Sadducees did not. So the Pharisees showed up with the Herodians. Of course, Jesus answered them in a way that they couldn't trap him in his words. Now, the other group of Jews, the other side of it, They're taking their best shot at him and trying to promote their views and unravel the ministry of Christ along with the doctrine that the Pharisees held. And so they ask about this law. And then they give this example in verse 25. Now, there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, in other words, no offspring, no youngins, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. So here's seven men, and they were using this for an example. You know, the one took a wife, he died, they didn't have no youngins. The second took her to try to raise up seed, keep the name of his brother alive in Israel. He died, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, every one of them died. And then last of all, the woman died. So that's the example they're giving. And verse 27, it says, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, now remember, these Sadducees are kind of being sarcastic because they don't even believe in the resurrection. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. So think that. Think about that. For they all had her. So, you know, they thought, boy, he won't be able to answer this one. Again, they thought they had him trapped, and they throwed out their best argument to try to unravel the belief in the resurrection and undo the Pharisees and undo Jesus' ministry and kind of put themselves on top. But look what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Hallelujah. People will err when they don't know the Word of God, when they don't know the Scriptures, and they don't embrace and believe in the power of an Almighty God, a God Almighty that spoke the universe into existence, said, let there be light, and there was light. He made the sun, moon, and stars. He made the dry land appear out of the waters, and then on that sixth day, hallelujah, he made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And then he made a deep sleep fall on the man and took a rib out of his side and fashioned a woman. Hallelujah. And presented her to him. And then he told them to be fruitful and multiply, made them fertile to where they could procreate. See, they didn't know the power of God. Now, you think a God that can do all that can raise the dead? If he can make a man out of dirt, and there was a perfect human body made out of the dust of the earth, but it didn't have no life in it until God breathed that life into it. And so that's where he said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And Jesus goes on here in verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am. That's a permanent present tense. Hallelujah. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. So he put them in their place and he used the Scriptures to do it. That's just like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and Satan came to him and tempted him. He resisted the temptations not with miracles, but with something that we can do. He resisted temptation with Scripture. He quoted the devil's Scripture to overcome temptation. That's an example for us. We can do the same thing. Here, he turns the Pharisees back to the Scriptures to prove that their doctrine of no resurrection is false. He said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Now think about that. Just like the Muslims, their idea of paradise, their idea of heaven is getting 70 or 72 virgins after they die. And so it's all about sensuality. And it's very carnal. It's just nonsense, that type of doctrine. But because they're just thinking of things from a lustful, natural point of view. And to them, that's the ultimate, I guess, is fulfilling that desire and that lust in them. But what God's going to give us in heaven is joy and pleasure and peace way beyond anything we could experience in this physical, natural body. And so, he said they neither marry nor are given in marriage. It says, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And so, over in the book of Daniel, it says that those the righteous that are resurrected, I believe it's in the early part of chapter 12 there, that shall shine forth as the stars. And stars is often a reference to angels. So we will be in an angelic, immortal state. And sensuality won't have nothing to do with eternal pleasure. Sexual lust will have nothing to do with the eternal pleasure we will experience in the presence of God throughout eternity in heaven in the presence of the Lord. Anything we've experienced down here will pale in comparison to the joy we'll have in the presence of the Lord for all of eternity. And so, he let them know about that. Because they were thinking, well, now we're going to have husbands and wives, you know, up in heaven. They, you know, the men will have their wives or whatever. And of course, their example here, seven men had this one woman. Whose is she going to be? And Jesus just let them know that whole concept was silly nonsense. We won't be marrying and giving in marriage. Yeah, a husband and wife may go to heaven because they're both Christians, but when they get up there, it won't be a husband and wife relationship. It'll be that we're all children of God in the presence of our Heavenly Father type relationship. And then he addressed the resurrection part of it. And so he let them know, hey, you know, God was speaking in the eternal present tense. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And then he said, God's not a God of the dead, but of the living. And so he really put them in their place. And then so he has all the answers. And verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. See, they no doubt had heard these Pharisees and Sadducees argue about this issue and about the differences in their opinions probably for years and years. And just in a few words, Jesus won the argument. He put them in their place and he shut them up. And verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And so they thought, well, we're going to take another shot at him. These Pharisees did. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now, he was supposed to really know his... Now, he's not an attorney at law, but he's one who is an expert in the law of Moses. So he's a lawyer. He really knows his stuff as far as the Bible goes. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And so he's going to ask Jesus another question. Well, of course, Jesus has all the answers. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. And so that was the perfect answer, because Jesus was quoting to them out of the law, quoting to them the very scripture that they exalted themselves above all. So he gave them the perfect answer. And that's what they call the Shema. That when it says, the hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and you know, heart, soul, and mind. And so then, and he reminded them, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. See, under the new covenant of grace, that's the law we're under. Obviously, we're not under the law of Moses, and we have to offer little turtle doves and pigeons and sacrifices like that, and worry about the new moons and the Sabbaths and the feast and all that like the Jews did under the law of Moses. But what we've got to focus on is putting God first in our life, loving Him. Because if you love the Lord, you won't be taking His name in vain. You won't be committing idolatry and worshiping false gods or bowing down to images and so on and so forth. You'll be putting God first. And then you'll be loving your fellow man. You won't be lying to him, stealing from him, trying to kill him, and so on and so forth. You'll be good to folks. The Bible tells us, He said, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? So this goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So now they ask all these questions, and he has all the answers. And now Jesus is going to turn the tables on them. In verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now this question was to set up the real question, because they probably thought, oh, that's an easy one. So here they just blurt the answer out here. When Jesus said in verse 42, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. Because it was foretold that he would come out of the tribe of Judah through the lineage of David, the king of Israel. And so they just come right up with that answer. They thought, oh, we got this. But then that sets up the real question. Verse 43, he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord, and here he's quoting out of Psalms 110, verse 1. Here in verse 44, the Lord said unto my Lord. Now, if you'll notice, there's a little bit different print here. If you got your King James Version of the Bible, when it says the Lord, that's all uppercase. I know the L's larger, but it's still, if you'll look, it's uppercase letters. Said unto my Lord. And it's also, if you'll look back in the Psalms 110 and verse 1, it's the second time it says Lord here, unto my Lord. It's a capital L, still acknowledging the deity, but it's lowercase O-R-D. So this is how they distinguishing, even in the Old Testament, between the God the Father and God the Son. Just a little side note there. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So that's the question, the real question he's putting forth. And then he asked them this. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Hallelujah, Jesus has all the answers. But he asked him a real simple question, and they didn't really understand the Godhead, that you had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And so then they'd never really thought about that. Yes, the Messiah was coming from the lineage of David, and that was through Mary. It couldn't have been through Joseph, even though both of them's family tree went back to David. But it couldn't have been through Joseph, because Joseph wasn't his real father. Jesus was conceived in Mary by the Holy Ghost. And it was a pure conception, so pure that after the conception, she was still a virgin. Now, some people try to dirty that up, or some wicked, goofy ideas about some of these things that people come up with. But nonetheless, they said, well, he's, you know, the son of David. And then Jesus says, well, then how did David say, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Boy, that stumped them. They didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't realize that Jesus was the root and the offspring of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of King David. And so they didn't realize, because if you look whenever the Jesus' pedigree goes back, it goes right back through through Mary there, and it goes right back to David, and it goes on back, to Abraham, to Noah, and it's going backwards, and it says, which, and of course the pedigree is given once in Matthew and the second time over in Luke, and you'll notice differences if you compare them. And it's because one of them is Joseph's lineage, which don't count, technically, but it's still important. And the other is Mary's lineage, And it goes back, and it's the proper lineage. And when it gets back to Adam, and it says, which was Adam, it says, Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So Adam was formed by God's hands out of the dust of the earth. They didn't ever think about that. So that's how, yes, Christ, the Messiah, was from the lineage of David, but David still called him Lord. They didn't realize that Jesus was the root and the offspring. Remember, he's the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. And so Jesus has all the answers. They tried their best to trip him up. Their best laid plans, they had plotted and schemed and tried to come up with something to undermine him, to discredit him, and was unable to do it. And these hot shots that thought they really knew something, and you got to remember now, this last one that asked him a question was a lawyer. Not an attorney at law, but an expert in the law of Moses. The most educated. Supposed to be the smartest people in the room. When Jesus asked them a simple question, they didn't have the answers. But Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know the one that is the Son of God? Who has all power? Who has all the answers? You may be looking for answers in your life. Jesus is the answer. Won't you just bow your head if you've never been saved and just ask Him to save you. Just say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask Him to save you and forgive you. He gladly will. He loves you and the Lord would love to have you. Or maybe you're somebody that's kind of had your doubts and questions. As a Christian, as a believer, you need to trust the Lord. You need to make sure you're not like the Sadducees and you're erring and you're in error because you don't know the Scriptures nor the power of God. Because if we don't know the Word of the Lord, we'll mess up. That's how we'll keep ourselves from being in error, is by looking at the Word of God, believing it, embracing it, and passing it on. You need to do that as a believer. And until next time, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.